Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That is the foursome. Yeah, I know you wanted to touch on this lacrosse deal that Furman dropped their program.
Yeah, it's kind of the other shoe that's going to start dropping here. We've talked about it almost immediately that when this pandemic deal hit and these universities started sending kids home and everybody was starting to lose some income here, that, you know, football games being canceled and that sort of thing, if that happens, men's sports in particular are going to start dropping. And we've already seen it, right? University of Cincinnati.
Akron.
There was a report that UConn, even, I think it was potentially going to cut their football program. But in particular, I've been worried about lacrosse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's a non-revenue generating sport for the vast majority of the 72, 73 programs, whatever there are in Division One. And, you know, to keep it in line with Title IX, the men's non-revenue generating sports are vulnerable here, and Furman is the first D1 sport so far to drop lacrosse. It was kind of a shocker yesterday, even though you kind of braced for this and you knew this is the kind of thing that could happen. They cut lacrosse and baseball, and it's just, you know, it's kind of a devastating thing, and I don't think it's going to be the last school to do it.
No.
Specifically with lacrosse. I think there will be a few others.
It's devastating.
And it's just devastating. And,
devastating for these kids.
I know a couple kids that are there, that play there. I feel for them. Now they got to figure out, am I going to stay there or am I going to retire from lacrosse? Am I going to hang it up?
Right.
I think about the baseball team. Same thing. It's just, it's absolutely brutal. My stomach was in knots yesterday when I saw that. I think that my son, you know, on a selfish level, I think that they're probably safe at Marist, a very successful team. But I don't know. I mean, you don't know.
It's a crisis.
It's a crisis. And
it,
you know,
you feel horrible. It's not just the kids. I mean, what about the coaches?
The coaches.
They're all out of
jobs. Richie Mead is a legend at Furman. He coached for 16 years at Navy. Right?
Yeah.
He's coached like the U.S. team in the World Games and all that. I mean, he is an absolute legend. And now, Furman never really could get going. They play in the Southern Conference, and, you know, they pretty much had a losing record almost every year, if not every one. It was hard for me to pull up all the years. But still, it's just devastating. And, you know, the university is saying they lost over $100 million in their endowment just because of the markets crashing.
Well, that is a crushing blow.
Can you imagine?
I don't know what Furman's endowment is, but you can't lose that sort of money. Like,
I mean, you wonder who's investing their money? How'd they botch that?
So these kids, you know, let's just say between the lacrosse team and the baseball team, you got 50 kids.
Oh, you got more than that.
Because
on the lacrosse team, you got 45 plus.
Okay, so let's just say
and
there's
in the baseball team.
So you've got 70 kids.
Yeah, 75, 80 kids.
So you got 70 kids who have to decide. All right, am I going to stay at Furman and just be a regular student, or am I going to try and transfer somewhere? So because I still want to play and I still love playing.
Yeah.
I mean, and then what do the coaches do? You know, they got to try and
find.
Out. Yeah, they got to try and find jobs somewhere. It's awful. And you're right. It's not going to be the last school that does it. Did they announce other sports, or was it just those two? Did softball?
Just those two. See, the girls' sports are fine.
I think so. I think the
girls' sports
are
fine, especially you know, when they still have football. Now, some of these schools, some of these D1 schools had football, but they're not revenue generating, you know.
Right.
I was looking up at Furman. I don't know. I think their football team is a little bit more successful than the lacrosse team, so maybe they make a little bit of money there. But obviously it's not a big-time football program. Some of the frankly, if they're going to cut a sport at some of these smaller D1 schools, I'd rather them cut football. But I don't want to see them cut anything.
By the way, where is Furman? South Carolina.
South Carolina. We actually talked. Stephen could have very well could have played there. You know, but remember Stevie switched his commitment and we were looking for other schools. They didn't have any money, but I could have gotten them on. We could have gotten them on that roster probably. But we were looking for some money.
It's just so sad that these kids are just – look, I know it's serious. You can't get the lives back of the people who died of this, but these kids are really starting to pay for it.
Right. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Some schools are going to fold.
And the fall sports that are severely in jeopardy for high school sports anyway, I mean, that will just crush some of these kids.
Yeah.
It really will.
We're focusing on sports, but I think, you know, there are some projections that schools are going to fold.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I wonder, you know, with so many people unemployed and people are getting back to work, but how many kids are not going to be able to afford going to college in the fall?
Could happen.
Yeah, it's a real concern.
I don't know. I don't know how kids afford college to begin with.
It's a trickle down. It really is. It's a trickle down all the way down to our kids. It just, And it's, you want everything to change, but this has impacted us to a level where it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, I mean, the damage that's going on right now is just spectacular.
I mean, it really makes you angry.
I was texting Jason about how angry I was getting yesterday.
Yeah, it gets me angry, and I just try not to think about it. But just thinking about my kids, you know, I'm sending my daughter back to Virginia Tech, even if they're not going to have on-campus classes. I'm going to send her down there. All right, so she's going to be in Blacksburg. Yeah. My younger daughter, I have no idea. We can't even go to look at schools. She wants to look at schools. These schools are closed.
Well, you
got to take virtual
tours.
Yeah, screw them. Virtual tours suck. I hate the word virtual. And I just really do want to get her out there to see some of these schools, and they're all closed up. You know, right. They got to start opening up for these guys. They really do.
Yeah.
She should have some time, though. I know that you would like to do it now, but she should, you know.
Well, I mean, the summer is an important time for juniors.
Let's hope. Right. We don't know. Think about this. So we get the internal email, and they don't really want us talking about it, but we may not be back in the office for several months. I was talking to a guy that works for a major company, and at this point, and I don't know how they're making these plans now. That's the whole thing. Like, can't we just settle down on this? They're not expected to be back until March. And then I guess they're going to reevaluate at this point. So they're just assuming that it's going to be crazy until March. That's insane. So if you're you know, my daughter right now wants to go on a couple visits too. And she's talking to coaches, and they can't even allow her on campus. So like right. Jason says, you can't even, you know, you could do the virtual tour, but you don't get to meet the players. You don't get to meet the coaches. You don't get to see the campus itself. And I don't see it changing anytime soon, especially when they just start. I don't understand why they're making all of these decisions now.
It's just planning. It can change.
I don't know. I think once they start canceling stuff, it's hard to I think it's hard to reinstate it.
And especially like the planning, if they have to figure out how to do another, and Jason hates the word, virtual semester, they got to do a lot of planning there.
Yeah, well, the virtual semester early. Apparently is what also kind of doomed Furman because they had to spend a ton of money on virtual technology.
Right.
You know?
It does seem early to make these decisions on spring sports. All right, you got one thing that you canceled them this year, but to cancel them altogether for next spring, it just seems like it's kind
of
early.
If they see a projection of what's happening with their money, they know they have to do something. So if they see, you know, their budget all of a sudden decreasing and they know they're not going to have the funds.
It's terrible, man. It's just absolutely terrible. I feel so bad for these kids.
I agree.
And the way I figure 100%. The endowment, Cakes makes the shot at the endowment. Look, I don't know who's running their endowment, whatever, but you're like, how do they lose their money? Well, it's just like our money in 529 plans and 401ks.
No, I understand, but JP, but think about it. $100 million of their endowment, I doubt Furman has like a $1 billion endowment. Like, they're To lose $100 million? What were they investing in? Were they all in Under Armour or something?
This is shocking to me that Furman, which is a relatively small school, has an endowment north, now I don't know how recent this is, north of $700 million.
That's what it was?
North of that. Now, it may be $600 million now if they lost $100 million. I looked up University of Maryland's endowment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $330 million.
Yeah.
How does a university that's probably, I don't know, 10 times the size of Furman have such a paltry endowment?
I'll raise my hand as an alum who's never given a dollar to the University
of
Maryland.
Okay, that's fine. But there are plenty of well-heeled people that have graduated from Maryland.
There are plenty of Kevin Planks out there.
You would think their endowment would point its finger and laugh at Furman's endowment.
Some of these endowments will blow your mind. Vassar College's endowment?
Yeah.
$1.1 billion.
How do they get $1.1 billion?
Well, is that where maybe Hillary Clinton went?
I have no idea.
Vassar? I don't know. Quinnipiac's endowment, $556 million.
This is an outrage. How does Quinnipiac, which has been a university of note for 5 minutes, have a bigger endowment than Maryland? That is weird.
One or two uber-rich donors,
I guess.
I don't even know what it is. Yeah, this is just insane. How do you...
Hillary didn't go to Vassar, I don't think.
I'm actually pissed that...
No, it's somebody famous like that. I think
she went to Wellesley.
Yeah, Wellesley.
I'm actually pissed that they have $600 million left in their endowment, and they still cut the sports.
Right.
Come on.
That could have paid for two sports.
Yeah, come on. Give me a break. It tells me that they were looking for a reason.
I was going to say, isn't that what endowments are for like our emergency funds?
Yeah. I don't know.
It just gets you really pissed if you think about it and talk about it.
Because we know this in our family, and again, everything is you just kind of relate things to yourselves. In our family, it's what keeps my kid motivated and keeps him in structure. You know, if that's all, you know, he loves those guys. Those are all his best friends. Can you imagine those guys yesterday on the lacrosse team and baseball team getting that email? Because they're not even on campus. They're getting that email, and they just had the carpet pulled out from underneath.
Oh, yeah, they had Zoom meetings. They found out on Zoom.
Yeah, and they're all best friends. They're all best friends.
Right. Now they don't. Now they're out.
Now they have
nothing. What do they do?
Yeah.
Now you got to scramble.
I mean, man, that's just brutal. And you know, this, like we said, it happened at Cincinnati a few weeks ago. They did it with the soccer team and some of these other programs. Akron did it.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it UConn where it had leaked? They had already decided that the fall sports might have been canceled, and they had to walk it back.
Yeah. Well, then you heard about State of California altogether. State of California was talking about canceling the fall semester for all schools.
Right. And again,
I don't know if that's official.
As they're seeing, you know, as they're seeing the data come in and the death rate not nearly what it was purported to be, especially for younger people, I still don't understand this. I would hope that we could find ways to manage risk better, but
I don't get it either, man.
Yeah,
I mean, I can see if you're worried about older coaches and older professors.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue.
But
that's
when you've got an average age on campus is going to be 20 years old, you're right. Yeah. I just don't get why they're panicking so much.
At some point, as a culture,
with liability. Yeah. They're just afraid if they open up the campus, all right? And
students have to sign waivers if they decide to go back to campus. Their family signs a waiver.
Students and professors.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I think they can get through that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as simple as a waiver for doing, you know, a hot wing. Chicken eating contest.
Well, I would think that there would be some way to cover yourselves on that.
All right. Yeah. If you want to chime in, 800
Your kids want to go back to school? I think they do.
Yeah.
1067 is the number, 800-636.
They're desperate to.
1067. When we come back, we'll open up the entertainment page here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Jake Russell's going to join us. Wrote a book about the Nationals. We'll talk about Major League Baseball's proposal and more with Jake Russell at 8 o'clock. Later in the program, we've got Michael Grieco, who's Quentin Dunbar's attorney. They've denied the armed robbery charges. And John Clayton will join us at 9:40 to talk some NFL.
All right, you want to get into the world of Hollywood and entertainment?
Yeah, what's going on?
Entertainment page, sponsored, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Wave Soda. Wave Soda is awesome. Super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Use our code JUNKIES for 15% off at wavesoda.com, like my fantasy football partner in crime, Mikey Botts, did. Use that code for 15% off. Get hooked.
All right, boys, I had this story yesterday, never got to it, and I think you guys probably read about it over the last few days, but Hope Solo's dog was shot, apparently, after roaming around her and Jeremy Stevens' property. She claims they bought something like, I don't know, they bought a bigger property. Can't remember how many acres it is, but she says the dog was about 30 yards off the property, so I guess technically it was on someone else's property, and they shot the dog. Now, originally the dog was just shot in the leg, and obviously it was serious, but finally, a few days later, after looking for like a canine prosthetics and that sort of thing, the dog ultimately did perish and passed. So she and Jeremy Stevens are brokenhearted. I believe they just had kids recently. They just had twins or something recently. But, you know, they're big animal lovers, and one of several dogs that they owned.
I think they have 5 Dobermans.
And it's just unbelievable that a neighbor, essentially, I'm assuming it was a neighbor.
I was going to ask you, did they find the guy who shot him?
I don't know. I don't know the details of it.
I mean, unless the dog was, like, threatening the person or, you know, like a kid that lived on the other property, it seems like a little bit of an aggressive move.
What do you think?
To shoot the animal instead of just, you know, you could call, you know, like the Humane Society or call the cops. I mean, you have to shoot the dog?
Yeah, it's crazy. So it says they own 60 acres. I'm trying to see. Do you see where is it in Washington where they live?
I think it's in Washington.
No, Northern California.
Northern California. And the dog's running around and gets shot. And then just.
There's nothing in the story that says that they've, you know, questioned anyone or arrested anybody on the shooting.
Oh, I'm sorry. North Carolina.
North Carolina.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
What's appropriate? Let me ask you guys this, though. What's appropriate if you get attacked by a dog? This happened to me recently.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't bitten by the dog, but I was thinking in my brain, well, what do I do? There were 2 dogs. They weren't huge. They were medium-sized dogs. I don't know the breed of dog. Probably something like Jason's dog, right?
Okay, yeah.
And I was out for a run. They were not on a leash. It was, look, nobody's out. Not many people are out during the day. Say it's 11 o'clock. And I run by, and there was a lady, and she was on a hill,
right.
And she had her 2 dogs close. And as I was approaching, you know, I was just running on a sidewalk. As I was approaching that area, I noticed that the 2 dogs were kind of looking at me. And then as I got closer, they started coming at me, and then I just stopped. I just stopped because I didn't know what was going to happen if I continued to run.
Right.
And they got within like 2 feet of me. What is appropriate if they actually attacked me? Can I kick them?
You can do whatever you have to.
You protect yourself.
Yeah.
Of course, you protect yourself.
Of course you can kick the dog at that point.
And especially if they're not on a leash. They got to be on a leash.
Yeah.
No, they weren't on a leash because there was like nobody around. To be honest, I was running past sort of business.
The owner would be liable if those dogs are not on a leash.
Right. But it's,
and then you could always, I mean, if they actually attacked you and tried to bite you, you report them to the county and, you know, the county could take care of it from there, but.
I would never shoot a dog. I'm not a gun owner. That seems extreme. But I'm sure, like, if I kicked these two dogs, the lady would have been bitter.
Well, so? You know what? That's where you say these dogs need to be leashed. I mean, you can't just have dogs running around with no leashes on. You know, it's anarchy, JP. Come on.
Yeah. If they attacked you, then you're fine.
That's
but.
Not totally infrequent. I see that, you know, a decent amount of times. Dogs without leashes.
Well, were these dogs barking at you?
Yeah, they were like, I'm telling you.
Did they look like they were in attack mode?
I was just jogging along, and there's a lady on a hill with her two dogs. She's just chilling. It was this business area with a huge parking lot with no cars because nobody's working.
Right.
And she's just enjoying the weather, and she probably just left her dogs without a leash because they were just kind of sitting right around her. And as I'm running down the sidewalk, all of a sudden they start looking at me, and as I get closer, they start coming at me, and then my move is, I don't know if I should continue running, I just stop.
She's a bad dog owner,
Did she apologize?
She, the whole time she was like yelling the dog's names, and they weren't listening to her.
Right.
Because they were in, I guess, protection mode.
Yeah, well, you would be in protection mode as well if they started attacking you.
Now, Jason.
So I can kick the dogs.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
You can body slam the dogs. You can do whatever. So. If they're attacking you and biting you, and you can do whatever.
So I have to wait until they bite me?
Well, yeah. I mean,
if they attack you, if they jump on you. I'm going to tell you right now, if a dog jumps on me, I'm kicking him.
Correct. Yeah. You should.
So wait until they jump on you.
I mean, unless you're coming into their property, that's different.
And then I'm not a dog guy. I've never owned a dog in my life. Like, in that situation, would I have been better off just running? I always hear that they can sense your fear. They sensed my fear. Like, what am I supposed to do?
No, I think you did it right. You just stop, and then if they keep moving forward and start to bite you, then you kill them. That's what you do.
JP,
and then you, and then you kill the owner.
You do what they do in the movies. You pull like a 10-ounce steak out of your pants and you throw it at the dogs. And then while they're occupied with the ribeye, then you run
skedaddle.
Away.
Yeah, you think that'll work? And
everybody knows that.
Am I supposed to stop and put my hand out?
No, I don't think so.
But I told you about.
Not if you don't know the
dogs. 3 weeks ago, I'm walking my dog on a leash on a path. Yeah. Well, actually, not on a path. It was on a sidewalk. And two dogs came flying out of a yard and attacked my dog. Now, they were little. I don't know if they were poodles or, you know, they were 5-pound dogs, right? So they're not going to do any damage. But if I wouldn't have pulled my dog away, my dog would have crushed those dogs. So if my dog would have attacked those dogs and killed one of them, would I have been liable? I don't think so.
Those dogs were running.
If they started
no leash.
It,
yeah, they came up to my dog and they were attacking. Yeah. They were biting her legs. They were biting her tail.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I told the owner, the owner's in the front yard, you know, calling the dogs back. And I said, dude, my dog ain't friendly. This can get rough right now if you really want it. Because all I got to do is unleash her, and your dogs are history.
Right.
But what would have happened there? Would I have been liable? If my dog kills one of the dogs, they attacked her.
I don't know. If they attack, I don't know how you're liable for that. I don't know. Jason, you're the tennis person here in terms of on the women's side. Yeah. Jeannie Bouchard, where's she ranked right now?
I don't know. I mean,
she a top 50 player?
I'm going to say. I would think top 50.
She has a ton of followers. She has 2.1 million followers on Instagram. And apparently she had tweeted or put on Instagram or something. Somehow she put it out there that this quarantine would be a hell of a lot better if she had a boyfriend. And
she's
of
thirsty.
Course,
I thought she had that boyfriend that she the date was set up on social media.
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
So she put it out there, and then I guess she decided to raise some money for charity when all these guys started hitting her up, and she put an auction out there, and the minimum bid was $2,500 to go on a dinner date with Jeannie Bouchard. Well, she eventually raised $85,000.
Wow.
So some donk paid $85,000 to have some awkward social media dinner date that you know is going to end nowhere. The money's going to go to Meals on Wheels, No Kid Hungry, America's Food Fund. You know, a bunch of food deals.
So
to help people during the pandemic,
a Zoom dinner date.
No, I think it's.
Oh, like they're going to get together after
I gotta imagine. Well, you're not paying $85K for a Zoom date.
I wouldn't think so.
No way, because you want to at least have a feel like you have a shot. Maybe get her drunk or something. Right, Giggs?
I guess.
I mean, there's no way.
I think you have a shot.
For $85K?
Yeah. I mean, that one donk was just a nerd, and they ended up dating for months afterwards.
Which one are you referring to?
He made a bet with her that the Patriots would come back in the Super Bowl against Atlanta. And then
that's right.
He like bet her a date or whatever. And then, obviously, they came back, and then she honored the bet. And then they went on a date.
And they
hit it off. And then they were hanging out for months afterwards.
Do you think he ever smashed?
Of course.
Probably.
So they were like seriously dating?
It appeared so.
Could have been friends with benefits,
it didn't seem like it was a stunt.
Right.
By the way, her highest ranking was 5 in 2014. And she's plummeted to 332.
Wow.
As of March.
Yeah, but she's still famous because she's friggin' hot.
Oh, she's definitely hot.
And what is her nationality? Is she American?
She's Canadian.
She's Canadian. Okay. Yeah. So when Valdez sent me that story and I looked at her Instagram, it reminded me of the Paige Spierniak post that went viral again about 2-3 days ago. And Valdez had sent me that one too, shocker.
This is Matt Valdez.
I want you to type in right now, if you're near your computer, type in Paige Spierniak.
Here, Jason, I'll text
Instagram,
it to you.
Okay? Or just put it on the I'm going to put it right here, Jason. I'm going to put it on the Google Hangout, all right? I want your boys to see this.
I texted you and Doug.
Yeah. It is maybe the most outrageous clean picture I've ever seen. Like, it's just outrageous. Click on that, fellas.
All right, hold on.
If you're at home or you're in your car, I know no one goes to work anymore, just type in Paige Spierniak Instagram and
the
see her most
recent.
Yeah, I mean, man, it's just right.
I mean,
there are no words
to describe how I feel right now.
This girl's actually an accomplished golfer, scholarship golfer, has played in professional events, hasn't necessarily fared that well, but she's a legit, I
wish she wore that when she was in studio with the Junks.
Yeah, scratch golfer, and look at that. Look at these shots. They're unbelievable. This one, I think, Valdez, this one might take the cake. If you go through and you look at all her Instagram posts, this one
I couldn't believe it when she posted it.
Right?
I mean.
that
bikini top can barely cover those jugs.
I mean.
It's working hard.
It brings the show to a screeching halt, frankly.
Yeah,
you have to go home. You know, make sure your wife or girlfriend's not looking and just type
and then just take care of the business.
Yeah. She does a million. Well, I don't know if that's enough for you, but you know, she posts a million things where she's out. I think she's got to deal with Top Golf or something. And, you know, she's really parlayed this into an amazing career.
She hosts a podcast now.
She hosts a podcast. and she'll post all, you know, these, she wears these tights and I mean, she totally accentuates that. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Of course she does.
And I've heard her talk about it before, where they, you know, people tell her, well, don't do that. If people tell her not to do it, then she does it. And she's, you know, she's turned herself into a massive social media star.
Well, Valdez is then going to tell her no more jugs pictures if she's just going to do the opposite of what you're telling her to do. Valdez, you should do that immediately.
Keep your top on.
Yeah.
Topless.
Exactly.
Dopless.
So anyway, check that out, fellas. It's maybe the most outrageous Instagram photo I've seen yet. That's actually totally clean. Could you click on that at work?
By
would that
her,
be considered
there, to me? There's a million. You know, aren't there a million Instagram models that put pictures like that on the regular?
Well, I suppose.
Well,
I don't,
that
I
models
don't
models yes, but this is like
she's like an athlete.
Yeah,
she's a legit athlete,
and that's becoming the new thing: is women who are athletes who have a legitimate skill but are also hot, and then flaunting it,
like
combining
posts,
the both.
What kind of athlete?
Golfer? Are you talking? What are you talking about? She's a scratch golfer,
guys. She's like. Okay, but
come on, dude. Look at her body. You think that she's not athletic?
No, of course she's athletic, but
she's
not
an athlete. She's competed at the Division I level. That's an athlete.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
That's every Instagram model.
That's not true.
They're all athletes.
That's not true. They haven't played Division I sports.
I'm sure tons and tons of them have.
The Eric. One soccer player, was it? She from Duke or North Carolina? She blew up.
This girl just flaunts it.
She does.
Of course she does. But she's making cash.
Let's not act like she's on the tour or something.
Well, she's tried to play in a few events. It hasn't gone great for her.
No.
But she's
sponsors
exemption. She's far away
she's
from
a
tour player.
Yeah. She's
Victoria's Secret sponsors exemption.
Right.
But she's a legit golfer.
Eric,
not like some of these other golfer.
I mean, she played golf in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Eric, what do you think about
percentage of people do that?
Starting a hottie tour where you have nothing but all the Instagram sillies that play golf, and then having a tour based around how all these hot sillies.
You got to be hot to be in it.
Yeah,
what would the name of the tour be?
The Jugs.
Sillies only.
Yeah, Jugs open.
Well, let's work on this idea here for a second. You might be onto something, Valdez. They have lingerie football, right?
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to be hot for that. You just have to be, I guess, dumb enough to wear lingerie and play football.
And be in decent shape.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Do they even care? Although, didn't Gary Clark coach a team and lose his mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, call Tom. We'll open up Blue Mash, and we'll have a hottie invitational.
Hottie. But we need to get a sponsor.
We can find something.
Yeah.
And then we have a cash prize. We have a whole field and everything.
We'll get BMW to sponsor it.
Yeah, we'll have all the sillies, and then we can park one out there for a hole in one and stuff
right.
like that.
That old bit.
Uh-huh. And then we'll charge patrons.
Yeah, but will people claim discrimination when we say they're not hot enough?
And they might.
Isn't that what the
term the Masters uses? They're not guests, they're patrons.
Right.
Right.
Well, hold on. What if
trying
we have
to class it up?
What if we do it like that? What if we just have a lingerie golf?
We could do that.
Lingerie golf. That's it. And then so that way you take out, like, a pig is not going to wear lingerie. Like, it's going to be self-selected.
Well, I think you're going to get.
If the prize pool is big enough.
I think you're going to get more players if you just have the hottie golf than the lingerie golf.
Well, I bet you Paige would play if the prize pool was big enough.
You know, if we had
a six-figure
if Paige is playing, she's the only one that's going to play.
Where are we getting a big prize pool from?
I don't know.
Where's that coming from?
No one's going to
beat her. BMW Fairfax, Offenbachers, Wave Soda.
Okay.
Yeah, all of them. Metro Men's Health.
How big is the prize pool?
Hey, Metro Men's Health would be a good sponsor.
Yeah, right? You won't even need the treatment. You just got to show up, Valdez.
Hey, fellas, there's never been a better time to clean out your garage than right now. Get rid of that old car or motorcycle. We'll even take the ATV or jet ski you haven't used in years, because when you donate to the Purple Heart Foundation, you're helping a veteran in need. It's free. Tax deductible, and their drivers are adhering to strict risk avoidance pickups. You won't even have to go outside. Schedule your pickup today at 888-414-4483 or visit purpleheartcars.org. That's 888-414-4483 or visit purpleheartcars.org.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Jake Russell is going to join us, Washington Post sports writer, coming up at 8 o'clock. He wrote the book 100 Things Nationals Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And obviously with them winning the World Series last year, he's added to the book. So we will talk to him at 8 o'clock. Of course, every morning at this time, we do our World Series Rewind, which is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Save 20% on windows and doors during the month of May. PaulHenry'sWindows.com. And today we look back to September 26th of last year when they took on the Phillies, which was always fun as they took on Bryce Harper. Strasburg had a bunch of strikeouts, and they ended up getting the win 6-3 to complete a sweep of the five-game series. Here's our World Series Rewind.
And now Steven to the bell. Kick and the pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out with a curveball. Well, now he has struck him out. Now there's that. The 2-2 from Strasburg. Swing and a foul tip. Held on to by Gomes. 96 on the elevated fastball. As Strasburg fans, Harper for the second time in a row. Strasburg ready. 3-2 pitch. Struck him out on a changeup. And that's strikeout number 10 for Steven Strasburg. He fans Harper for the third time. It's Strasburg's 47th career double-figure strikeout game and the seventh time this season he's hit double digits.
Yeah, I think Nats fans always love when Harper strikes out, especially three times in a game at the hands of Steven Strasburg. He had 10 for the game. He finished that season with 251 strikeouts, a career best. So nice outing for Strasburg and a nice five-game sweep for the Nats.
And the Nats, the Phillies just completely tanked towards the end of the year, but the Nats beat the Phillies 14 out of 19 last year. You know, obviously with a five-game sweep, which first time, I believe, in franchise history. It's rare that you have five-game series, but then they swept Cleveland to end the year. So the end of the year, winning eight straight.
I just can't believe they actually pulled it off. That they got, you know, the whole thing is still so magical. I still can't believe they actually did it. To start out so terrible and then get so hot and then just, you know, I was just
seems
so ready.
Like years ago.
I know.
Seems so long ago.
Wasn't that long ago. It was last season.
I just
can't believe that they actually pulled it off, though. They didn't choke and they were down. They were fighting from behind. It seemed like it the whole time.
It's a great year.
They remember I kept telling you how resilient they were?
Mm-hmm.
The Nats and Bitcoin cakes.
That's right. Linked together forever.
Well, what's Bitcoin?
Bitcoin's not a champion for me. Tell you that.
No, it's not a champion, but it's resilient.
I think as of last night, it was around 98 hundo.
Yeah. I got to get that sucker back to 14 before I can get whole.
I just have to give Coinbase.
Good luck.
I have to give Coinbase my driver's license, my birth certificate. A blood, a semen sample.
Right.
I've got
to
give
to
them
get the money out. You're
the
right.
Deed to my house.
Yep.
I have to give them all these items to get back into my account. I mean, it's outrageous.
Right.
But I understand they're trying to protect my Bitcoin from the dark web hackers that are always trying to steal it.
If it wasn't for Mikey Stotts, I would have never got my money out of Bitcoin. And then I just transferred it into my betting account.
Right.
Right.
Did you end up gambling it all away?
But then my betting account froze it because I did it because Mikey Stotts lives in Maryland, and I went over to his house, his farmhouse. He's got about 75,000 acres. And so I went over to his farmhouse, and we did it there. But then my betting site said, well, this is Maryland. You can't do this. It's illegal in Maryland.
Right.
So I had to verify that I lived in Virginia. It was just a complete debacle is what it was.
Yes.
Right. It was a poop show.
Hey, that's what happens when you get knee deep in the cryptocurrency game, Jason.
Yeah, never again. Never again.
Well, Cakes could be a big fat winner if he would just cash in. I don't know why he's scared.
I'm not scared. I'm greedy.
Yeah, you're greedy. Why are you being so greedy?
Because he knows he's playing with house money
he's
already.
Made so much on
I'm
this.
I'm just trying to make more money.
I know, but you're going to end up doing what you did with Under Armour or some of these others. You're just going to ride it back down.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah, just dude, especially considering some of the losses we've all taken, you got a winner here.
There have been losses.
It's not going to hit a million or 100K. John McAfee was high. Should never listen to that crazy old kook. It's not going to ever get there, Cakes.
Who knows? Who knows where it could go, EB?
It's not.
We don't know this.
He's crazy. He's a crazy
kook.
Well,
we tried to tell you that.
Yeah, well, we learned.
What if it goes to 40?
It's not. I mean, maybe it will eventually, but you're going to be near death.
I'll use it to pay for a fancy burial plot.
Right. By the way, Cakes, you're the guy that watches Twilight, right? Did you see that one of those guys? Well, you're the
it's
one that did watch
it. It's not a badge of honor,
it.
But yes, I've seen every Twilight movie because my wife is into the series.
If I told you the character, so this guy's Twilight actor Gregory Boyce died.
Okay,
he's 30.
He's not a big player because
Who he is, though? He played Tyler Crowley, who has a crush on Kristen Stewart's character Bella.
Hold on, let me see. How old was he?
He was 30.
How did he pass away?
Actually, yeah. I don't know. He and his 27-year-old girlfriend were found dead in their Vegas condo. I almost wonder if it was like a carbon monoxide thing or something.
Hold on. Let me find him. Tyree Boyce.
Or they did some bad drugs or something. Maybe it was like an OxyContin thing. I have no idea.
Oh, so he was just like one of the high school, like, group of friends.
Do you recognize him?
I recognize him now that I see his picture, but he was not a major player. I mean, it stinks that he's passed away, obviously, but...
Right. But you are dismissing it because he wasn't a big deal.
He was a bit player.
Boyce.
Yeah. Right. I didn't get a chance to touch on this. The Adam Sandler, remember, he had a really critically acclaimed, like the first time ever for him.
Yeah.
With Uncut Gems performance there. And it was about, remember, they get the gem dealer or whatever, the jewelry guy that somehow he got Kevin Garnett's ring, and then he was hawking it, and he was betting on the game and everything. So it kind of incorporated, you know, his love of basketball, because we all know that Adam Sandler loves hoops. He's one of these guys that when he's on a movie set, he'll have, you know, he plays pickup basketball all the time. Remember the viral video of him like playing at LA Fitness or whatever?
Yeah, the longest shorts ever.
Yeah.
He was wearing shorts that I was wearing in the early 90s, like when the Fab Four was still playing.
When you ever see him interviewed and he talks about exercise, he likes to play hoop. He likes he likes to play basketball for exercise.
Called him the Fab Four, by the way. Did I? Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Fab Five.
Yeah,
well,
you did.
Yeah, that's a botch.
The college hoops go to 4-on-4.
If I had a dunce cap, I would wear it right now. But I don't.
But anyway, he's set to star in another Netflix film. This one's called Hustle, and LeBron James is behind it, and apparently he's going to play a basketball scout who discovers a once-in-a-lifetime player abroad, and I guess he gets fired, and so he decides to bring the player to the U.S. to prove that they both have what it takes to make it in the NBA.
Discovers Giannis.
Yes.
Next Luka. Oh, yeah. By the way, I've
that actually sounds good.
I took JP's advice and I watched The Wrong Missy. So that's the title, right?
Yeah.
I would give it 3.5 cake batters. A little less than my standard 3.75.
It was kind of poopy then.
I will say there were some very funny parts, but there were also some very stupid parts. I mean, it's a Happy Madison production, so it's. Adam Sandler's.
But do you come away going, I wish I would have got that 90 minutes back?
No, it was worth 90 minutes. Okay. I mean, it was decent. Some good chuckles, also some really cheesy bits too. But, you know, that's what you expect from David Spade and company. But
overall, though, you give it a banged up thumbs up.
Yes. 3.5 cake batters.
Although I think your thumb has recovered, right?
My thumb is 99.875% recovered.
And by the way,
my ribs are 100% recovered.
I don't know if you're totally off on the Fab Four, because Ray Jackson was not fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think the other four were much better.
Did he ever get a cup of coffee, though, in the league? Did Ray Jackson?
Oh, probably.
I feel like he did. Jimmy King certainly played for a little bit here and there.
I don't think he was drafted, but I'm sure he got some
shot. It was the Fab Three. The Fab Three and two hangers-on. Okay.
Right. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Jake Russell, writes for the Washington Post, has a book about the Nationals out. We'll talk to him next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.